I know it's Christmas Eve, and I know it's Sunday, but the two don't seem to go together in a funny sort of way. We stood and looked at the car park and said, isn't it full? And someone said, do we have to pay? I said, no, I think it is Sunday, isn't it? No, it's free on a Sunday. So we put together Sunday and Christmas Eve. Just two little notices. First of all, a very warm welcome to the carol service. The collections today are for today and on Christmas Day tomorrow are going to be shared between the Mercy Ships and the Macclesfield Silk Food Bank, which is the people we donate our food to. The machine outside has been set for that, for Christmas donations. So if you would like to, when you put your card against it, it will automatically go on the computer towards those two charities. And at the end of the weekend, it will be divided equally between the two of them. So, and that's set outside for you out there. Or you can give cash. There's a basket there as well, if you prefer the old-fashioned idea of notes. That's fine as well. Tomorrow's service, which is Christmas Day, we're drawing your attention to it again, that it is at 9:30 start. So please, set the alarm a little bit earlier, might be a good idea. And we will be serving coffee afterwards for anybody who doesn't have to rush back and roast a turkey or boil a potato. If you'd like to stay for coffee, it'll be a shorter service because Ros has to go off to Presbury to run their Christmas service. So there will be time, and we're offering coffee to you for anybody that would like to stay and join us for coffee. You'd be very, very welcome on Christmas Day. I'd like to welcome Stephen Oliver now, who's our preacher, who is going to lead our carol service. He's going to announce at the beginning how things are going to go, and we welcome you to our pulpit today. Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you, Judith.
Relying on God's guidance and trusting in the wisdom of God's plan, Mary and Joseph travel to Bethlehem and beyond. Today we hear their story in word and song as we proceed through our carol service. As we light the fourth Advent candle, let us travel into Christmas and the new year with that same sense of guidance, wisdom, and trust as our revival plans begin to take shape. We also light the peace candle, thinking particularly of the events in Palestine and Israel. Father, we pray for a peace which will last. Raise up real peacemakers, we pray.
Good morning, everybody. It is so good to be with you, and thank you for that lighting of the candles, the fourth candle being the candle of love. It's the angel's candle. And today we hear the story, the great story of God coming into this world. I hope you're just about ready for Christmas. I've got a little bit to do. I've got to bake the ham today and get one present. So there's a bit to do yet for me, but I hope you're in good shape for tomorrow. But if you're not, it doesn't really matter. Have this time in terms of a time of great rejoicing, a time of rest and peace as we worship our loving God. The carol service will go unannounced, so people who are reading, thank you so much for volunteering, and just come up at the appropriate time and start reading. There are 9 readings, and most of them are the story from the Bible, which you'd expect, but there are also 3 readings from a modern Christian writer called Godfrey Rust, we'll be going through the whole story. Sometimes carol services miss out the wise men, for example, because they come slightly after Christmas Day. But no, we're going to have the wise men and even go further than that. So we're going to have the whole shebang today. There isn't a sermon, but I will be saying a few short words in the middle. So bear with me. So let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your love and for your mercy, and we thank you for Christmas and the gift that you give. Jesus, come into this world that is so wonderful but yet broken, and we come to adore you. Be with us this hour. Through Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we sing our first carol, Once in Royal David City. People walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. Come, Emmanuel, God with us to be. Come down from paradise and occupy the dirty stable of humanity. Come and live rough as we do. Come and die. Come and be lonely as an orphan child. Come to where grief is harvested and stored. Come to where empty, aged minds run wild. Come to the hospice and the cancer ward. Come, flee from tyrants as a refugee. Come, be betrayed by those you counted friends. Come and be tortured with no amnesty. Come as the means to justify all ends. Come and be broken like a Christmas toy. Come, be completely human. Then we'll know your sorrow may bring hope of lasting joy. And God above is God with us below.
In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said,
"Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
This reading is from Luke chapter 2, the birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Amen.
Thank you.
The reading is from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring cause of great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Amen.
Amen.
The reading is taken from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. It's the Magi visiting the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem, and they asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we've come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem of Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Amen.
Thank you.
I love the descant. I don't know where it's coming from, but somebody's singing it, which is really good. Let me just check that you're right behind there, because I can't see behind the tree. So I hope you can you keep moving around quite well. It reminds me a little bit, we don't get our Christmas tree very early. It's only about a week before Christmas, which actually appalls my, particularly my eldest granddaughter at 14. She thinks December the 1st the tree should be up, and it just doesn't happen in our house. And what I end up getting a tree too big, and I end up chopping the top off and chopping the bottom so it fits into the stand that it needs to sit in, and you've sort of chopped half of it away before you've started. But anyway, recently I heard somebody pose the question, would you prefer to run out of pigs in blankets or roast potatoes on Christmas Day? Would you prefer to run out of roast potatoes or pigs in blankets? Roast potatoes. I'm not sure I'm with you. So I thought, you've already got into the swing a bit, I thought I'd ask you some questions and about what is your Christmas, what is a true Christmas for you? You have options to raise your hand to show. So either artificial tree or natural tree. Artificial tree? Yeah. Very easy. Or real tree? Yeah, okay. What else have we got? Mince pie or Christmas pudding? Mince pies? Hands up for mince pies. Christmas pudding? Yeah, I do both, really. Snowy day on Christmas Day or sunny day? Snowy day, hands up. Sunny day. Yeah. And this last one, which is the all-important one, of course. No show of hands, please. Son of God or just an ordinary baby? Son of God or just an ordinary baby? And part of our Christian faith is, of course, that somehow in the mystery of our faith, we are told that that baby, that Jesus, was both fully human and fully divine. The mystery of our faith. And what I want to say to you today is that we should treasure our faith as a gift, the greatest Christmas gift we could have, and to recognise the wonderful character of the person who gives faith, God. And if you think about the nature of God, love and righteousness and justice and forgiveness and mercy, extraordinary generosity, peace-loving, but also creative. And the thing that I love creativity in nature. And you think about how wonderful the natural world is. And one of my favourite examples is the hummingbird, this tiny little bird. Its heart beats 1,260 times every minute. Over 1,000 heartbeats per minute. Travels over 2,000 miles when it migrates twice a year. And is the only bird that can fly backwards. And there's loads of other examples, of course. Creative God. And I do believe that we worship a God that has some humour. If you think of Jesus and some of his retorts to the church leaders of the day, the hard-hearted religious leaders, he used quite a good dose of sarcasm and irony in getting his point. When he was telling them that they worry about the very minutiae of the law and miss the big picture about what's needed, he said, "You blind guides, you strain out a gnat, but swallow a camel." So all of those things, all of those characteristics we've just named, the love and the righteousness and so on, just show us what a great God we have, that as the stories that we heard today, not the stories, the accounts that we heard today. They're not fairy stories, they are accounts of what happened 2,000 years ago, of how God saw it necessary to come into this world and to start to sort out our mess and make us right with him. And it just shows us how much God loves us and all the other 7 billion plus other people in the world. Coming into our messy world as a baby was an essential part of his plan. It had been hinted at for hundreds of years, hence the reading from Isaiah that we heard and many others that are in the Bible that we didn't have. It had been hinted at, and people of the time had believed in that with great faith. And a plan that came to fruition when Jesus came down as that baby in that stable in Bethlehem. A plan that changed history and importantly has changed the hearts of so many men, women and children ever since. And I do believe that God's wonderful character is still in evidence today. So I ask you to treasure your faith, treasure it every day, and walk the way of Jesus in the power of his Spirit. Have a wonderful Christmas with your families, and just keep that faith close in your heart. Amen. We have a reading that you're all invited to join in, congregational reading, and it's God Became Vulnerable. If you can read the bits in the dark type, that would be great. So here we go. In a world that had lost its way, God was born. In a world that yearned for wholeness, God was born. In a world that longed for healing, to a world that cried out in hope, to a world that called out for justice, to a world that searched for peace, for those who were lost, lonely and vulnerable. So that all might know. Hopes and their joys. In a world full of suffering and despair, full of laughter and delight. Amen.
John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. He came so that to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, To those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, not of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen.
Amen. Our final reading is sort of talks about the rest of the story. We've had the prophecy, the angels appearing to Mary, the angels and the shepherds, the birth, the wise men. But of course we know the rest of the story and the great account of Jesus' ministry, his life, his death and his resurrection. This idea that Jesus is fully divine and fully human is captured in this next reading called Skin. It's quite long, so get settled. That Christmas, God treated himself to a new coat. Till then, he'd not been dressed for visiting. He'd nothing dull enough to wear. Early on, he'd come to recognise his appearance didn't put people at ease. Even the very first ones were nervous. When he took an afternoon stroll around the garden, they'd run and hide. And when he showed someone around, he found their reactions hardly reassuring. He understood it must be difficult to be wholly relaxed in the presence of a host with dazzling white hair, emerald eyes and a tongue like a sword, sat on a blazing throne guarded by 4 6-winged living creatures and 2 dozen elders chanting constantly. Polite, yes, but probably not relaxed, likely to slop their tea onto their custard creams. So he took to meeting just a trusted few in places carefully arranged. A mountain, a desert, far from crowds. He made them build a tent for conferences with heavily restricted access. When he spoke, he found the quiet voices worked out best. Eventually, it was easier just to send a messenger. Of course, people were still startled when a shining creature several metres high materialised in their living rooms like something from the Starship Enterprise. But they did their job. And angels don't have feelings you can hurt. He learned that people were more comfortable with their own kind. Pleased when he showed an interest, of course, but when the boss drops by, the conversation's always stilted, and both sides are relieved after he's gone. So when the time came for the business that had to be done, he travelled incognito. Dressing down for the occasion, he chose skin. Not suede or leather, only skin. Close-fitting, durable, anonymous, adaptable. No special style or colour. Skin was his lifetime companion. He nursed the scabs of childhood games on knees and elbows, felt the ligaments grow taut, the muscles stretch when he extended himself. He fingered calluses made by a workman's tools upon his palms. He came to know skin from the inside. He knew the pleasant shock of cold water splashed across his face in the midday heat. He knew the touch of cool parchment unrolling underneath his fingertips, the dryness in his mouth as he prepared to read what was written there about him. He felt skin harden under feet that walk long distances, and after sleepless nights he felt it hang in folds beneath his eyes. at his most tired, it felt almost detached, a loose sack just to keep him warm. Once, when he thought he had their confidence, he let three of them glimpse his real appearance. They were terrified, and he never risked it again. He saw skin made repulsive by disease and healed it. He saw Lazarus walking and felt the goose flesh ripple down his spine. He knew the feel of an animal's rough back beneath his thighs and breezes from waved branches. When anger sluiced blood to the surface of the skin, he felt his face flush vivid red. He watched how liquids trickled over it. He could tell the different tensions of tears and ointment running down his cheeks and beard. He washed skin carefully, not just his own, but others. He observed how it protected them, the tiny beads of water dripping from their feet into his bowl. He knelt on dew-drenched grass and felt his cloak cling round his legs. His burning forehead prickled with cold drops of fear. He felt how, when whipped repeatedly, skin disintegrates and the soft flesh beneath is ploughed up like a bright red field. He knew then how necessary it had been. Skin had dulled the pain of being man and kept the parts together long enough. Now it was time to shed it. It was torn in strips from his back and hammered out in slices from his wrists, then pierced so that the fluids would spill out more easily. In the end, he saw it was no more than a ripped bag, cut down and wrapped like meat to put into cold storage. It was finished. What would happen next, he did not exactly know. But he'd watched creatures discard their coats in preparation for another life. He was ready for a new and different skin. Let us pray. Loving Father, we give thanks for Christmas, the joy and the happiness of being with family and friends, and most of all, the understanding that you love us, that you cared enough to come down into this mess and put things right, knowing that belief in you takes away all our sin. And we can hope for an eternal life with you. So, Father God, we join the shepherds and we come to adore you for all the great things that you are. And we pray for each person here, each family represented tonight. We give thanks that you hold every single one of us in your hand. And we pray that as we join together in your presence here, we will take the blessing we receive out into the cold air outside, then back to the warmth of our families, so that our Christmas will be truly filled with your Spirit. And we recognize the brokenness of the world as well as the wonder of the world. But we pray for all those situations where the world is not as you would have it. The angel said, "Don't be afraid, I'm bringing you good news that is for everyone." But Christmas may not feel much like good news for those whose income has fallen because of redundancy, unemployment, or benefit reductions. The angel said, "Don't be afraid, I'm bringing you good news that it is for everyone." But Christmas may not feel much like good news for those who are homeless or lonely, people who don't have a warm place to be or a warm welcome for those around them. So, Father God, help people who are suffering, help those of us with houses and families to open our hearts and, if necessary, our homes to those without them, so that the angel's message may truly be good news. The angel said, "Don't be afraid, I'm bringing you good news that is for everyone." But Christmas may not feel like good news for those who've left their homes, their communities, their towns and countries this year, perhaps fleeing from violence, war or terror. Christmas may not feel much like good news if you live in a tent out in the open air, and it will simply be a day of struggle like any other. So, loving God, God of the impossible, bring hope into the uncertainty of those who've got such fragile lives. Help those of us who live secure lives to give what we can to those who've left everything behind. The angel said, "Don't be afraid, I'm bringing you good news that is for everyone." Christmas may not feel much like good news, though, for those who are ill or suffering or waiting for results. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the dedication and care of medical staff, many of whom will be at work even on Christmas Day. We know that our earthly bodies won't last forever, but we also know that you are God of the impossible and still working miracles today. Bring healing by medicine or miracle, so that the angel's message may be good news for those who are sick. And in a moment of quiet, we name those people that we particularly want to raise before you. We name them in our hearts now and ask that they know your presence today and in the days to come. And finally, Lord, we pray for ourselves that we might be the people that you'd have us be this Christmas. And help us not to be caught up in the stress of getting everything right at Christmas, understanding what's important and what's not important. We expect so much from the festivities of Christmas. We always think that other people are having the perfect time with families around the tree. We pray for families who only see each other at Christmas. We pray for those who have lost people at Christmas. And we think about empty places at tables where loved ones no longer sit. We pray for new family groups making their own traditions, for those who have to be away from home or just at work. Through this wonderful time where your love is so visible, help us to relax and rejoice in the true meaning of the season. And may your light grow ever stronger in our hearts. Through Jesus we pray. Amen. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And our final hymn is "O Little Town of Bethlehem." Thank you, so many people who have taken part. It's been wonderful to hear the story again. And I wish you personally a very happy Christmas to you and your families. God bless.
Oh, deep and dreamless sleep, the silence does blow by. Yet in my dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee.
I wish you all the best for Christmas. I hope that you don't get woken up too early over the next few days. I don't know whether you might wake up all excited yourself or get woken up by other smaller people. But most of all, I wish you the joy of the angels. And let's close with the grace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.